Good morning, my friends. It is such a joy to welcome you to this time of worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Thank you for joining us in worship, whether you're here in person or worshiping over live stream. We know that the Spirit of Christ unites us in this time together. I'd love to invite you to let us know that you're with us. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads that should be at the end of each row. I've already seen some of you passing them around. That's wonderful to see and greeting one another. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can put in your browser. It should be up on the screen to register that way. And that is just one way that we know that you're with us and feel connected as a congregation. If you're visiting with us this morning and are perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we'd love for you to share your email address or mailing address with us, and that would give us an opportunity to reach out to you and continue that conversation. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we are making our way step by step to the manger this week. And there are several opportunities for worship in the days ahead I want to tell you about. This Wednesday night at 6:30 here in the sanctuary and over live stream, we'll have our service of the longest night. And this is a service, a quieter service with prayer and contemplation and music and an opportunity to find some peaceful space in the midst of a busy season. And if this is a particularly difficult season for you this year, this is a wonderful service to come and be nourished, and we hope you'll join us. On Christmas Eve, we have two services, one at 4 o'clock, which involves a lot of our children dressing up in the costumes of the manger, and I'll do a children's message, but not a full sermon, so this might be the one you want to come to. Lots of singing, and then we'll have a 10:30 p.m. service, which is a traditional service where there will be a whole sermon, so, you know, put that in the mix. And then on Christmas Day, we'll have one service at 10 a.m., and on same for New Year's Day, one service at 10 a.m. And then on the 8th, we'll get back to our normal pattern, and that will be the Sunday when we kick off our sesquicentennial year with a celebration downstairs during the Sunday school hour. There is one thing I want to correct from our bulletin. The scripture reader is not Brandon Rich this morning. Our drama and visual arts ministry has been interpreting many of the scriptures of Advent for us, and so they will be with us this morning to read the scripture. And it is the story of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective. So this morning, let us open our hearts to hear the story of Joseph and to see how his character, his love, his faith might inspire us.
Thank you. We await a word of hope.
God is the candle of
joy in our hearts. We wait together for a Savior.
He will
be. Let us prepare our hearts to welcome Jesus.
We light this fourth candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of Christ's peace coming into our world. Hear these words of the prophet Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with the righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them.
The gifts of the Advent season are love, joy, peace, and hope. Let us now make our confession before God, that by God's grace, we might receive these gifts in abundance and in turn, share them freely with others. Eternal God, generation after generation, you prepared a way in our world for the coming of your Son. And by your Spirit, you still bring the joy of the gospel into our lives. We confess that the pain and suffering of the world often outweigh our faith, that your grace can bring healing. Open our hearts with the hope of the prophets, that we might welcome the coming of Emmanuel. May we rejoice in your salvation and in your holy name. And now, O Lord, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me the prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said,
"Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet.
"Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us."
When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
to be seated. And if there are any kids who want to come forward for a few moments and join me up here, that would be great. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. We'll wave to you. Good morning, good morning. I'm seeing lots of red and lots of green and pretty Christmas colors. And sparkly shoes. Come on up. Hi. Oh, I'm so glad to see all of you. Make sure everybody has a chance to get up here. Goodness, what a big group we have today. This makes me so happy. I'm glad to see everybody. Well, I bet I will see some of you on Christmas Eve at the 4 o'clock service. I hope you'll be in town and you can be here, because if you want to, you can go up to the fourth story when you get here, and we have all these different costumes, and you can pick who you want to be from the story of Jesus' birth. So let's see, let's think about who all was there at the manger. Maybe you have a nativity set at home and you can help me remember. Yeah. Mary was there. Yeah. Joseph was there too, wasn't he? Who else? Or an angel maybe? Yeah, the angels were there. They were singing. The shepherds. Remember the shepherds? And you know it wasn't just people who were there. There were sheep and cows maybe? Yeah, because it was a stable. It was a place where animals stayed. So it's fun to think about all the people who were there. And I'm so glad that DeWitt remembered Joseph, because Joseph is sometimes one of those that we can kind of forget he was there. I have a nativity set at home, and sometimes I get confused, like, is this Joseph or is this one of the kings or is this a shepherd? But Joseph was such an important part of Jesus' life and such an important part of the story. And so today, in just a minute, I'm going to be talking a lot about Joseph and what we can learn from him. And I hope when you go home, if you have a nativity set at home, you'll just go and pat Joseph and say, thank you, Joseph, for loving Jesus and loving Mary and helping take care of Jesus while he was here. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the people and animals who were there to welcome Jesus when he was born. Especially today, we thank you for Joseph and the special person he was and how he helped to show Jesus what it means to be kind and to love. Be with us this week as we get ready for Christmas. May we look forward most of all to welcoming you into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. I see that. You have a stuffy on your head. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church and you can bring your stuffy. If you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. Thanks for listening. At the 8:45 service, there was a dog at the manger too, and I think that's totally right, because I have a dog. She belongs at the manger. For 3 out of the 4 weeks of Advent, the scripture readings have been presented to us by members of our drama and visual arts ministry. And they've done such a wonderful job of helping some of these stories come alive. They really helped the genealogy come alive. That's what we read on that first Sunday of Advent. And they helped the genealogy make more sense by reading it the way they did. I was excited to hear the reading this morning. And before I really started digging into the text myself, I started thinking about, well, let's see, there'll be a narrator, there should be an angel, and somebody's going to play Joseph. But then when I sat down to read the text again, I realized, Joseph doesn't have any lines. And you know what? Joseph never has any lines. Throughout all the Gospels, throughout all the scriptures, Joseph never says a word. And he is, in many ways, a sort of background character this time of year. You may notice that we enjoy putting artwork on the cover of the bulletin, and Heath Jones helps me with that every week. And there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of pictures of Mary and Jesus, the Madonna and child. There aren't so many of Joseph holding the baby Jesus. I mean, if you look at my stole even, if you can tell, it's a little, contemporary, but maybe you can see here's Mary and here's the baby Jesus. Today, let's imagine this is Joseph, okay? because we're going to bring Joseph into the spotlight today. We only have two Gospels that tell us the story of Jesus' birth at all, Matthew and Luke. Luke's version is the one we're perhaps most familiar with. That's the one we hear on Christmas Eve with the shepherds and the angels singing. Luke is the one who tells us about Gabriel coming to Mary to let her know that she's been chosen by God. And Mary is in conversation with the angel. Mary has lots of lines in Luke's gospel. She then launches into song the Magnificat and sings a song as a prophet would sing. But Joseph doesn't say a word in Luke's gospel, hardly mentioned in Luke's account. But in Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, it is told through the perspective of Joseph. Even though he doesn't say anything, he does a lot. And his actions and his character mean a lot. So Matthew is the one who invites us this morning to enter into this story of Jesus' birth through the eyes and experience of Joseph. So let's put ourselves in Joseph's shoes this morning. Let's see where he finds himself as the story opens up. The first two verses tell us the birth of Jesus the Christ happened in this way. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Wow, that is a lot to unpack in just a couple of verses. So Mary and Joseph were engaged. Now, that kind of engagement was a little bit more binding than we perhaps think of engagement in our day. Most likely, Joseph's parents and Mary's parents had arranged the marriage, had come to a contract. I don't know that they were literate and could actually sign on the dotted line, but they had an agreement of honor that their children would marry each other. There would have been a ritual of some sort where Mary and Joseph made their promises and their vows in front of God and their families and the community to say, I belong to you and you belong to me. I will be faithful to you in the name of God. And then for the next few months, the next year or so, Joseph would then start getting the household ready. Most often, the husband would build an extra room onto the home of his parents' house, and he would construct this room. And then after a few months or a year, he would bring his bride home to live with him. And it was then that they would consummate the marriage. Now, there's some thinking that the words that we hear in John's gospel that you may have been familiar with from perhaps a funeral or other readings actually come from the betrothal ceremony. When Jesus says, I go to make a place for you and I will come for you and bring you to myself, that's sort of what happens at the moment of the wedding, when the husband brings the wife home. There's another ceremony, they are married, they consummate the marriage. So it's in this period between the betrothal and the marriage itself that it comes to light somehow that Mary is with child. The way the English translation goes, Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Found by whom? Was this something everybody knew? Is Matthew just telling us, the readers, that it was by the Holy Spirit? Does anyone else know that? Does anyone else believe it? Did Mary try to tell Joseph herself and explain to him what was going on? Did she just tell her parents and they told his? We don't know. But we know that Joseph knows. And we also know that he doesn't believe this is a work of the Holy Spirit. In his perspective, with the best he can understand, Mary is pregnant. It's not his child. She's been unfaithful to him. She has broken the vows of their betrothal. So we put ourselves in his shoes and imagine how he must feel. Here he has made his promises. And he has discovered that this woman he thought he knew is not the woman he thought she was. Here he has been building this room, building this home to bring her to, building a future that now is crumbled before him. I can imagine anger and a sense of betrayal. I can imagine deep grief and sadness. I can imagine some hopelessness, knowing the future he had planned is no longer his. What to do now? He has two choices, he thinks. The best he can come up with is two choices. On the one hand, it does say in the law, in Leviticus, he has every right to bring Mary out into public and to expose her shame. It would be a way to live out his anger, to get his revenge, and also to tell the world that he's innocent, that he is morally pure, that he has done nothing wrong, that he's in the right. And it would bring shame on Mary and shame on her family, but it would save his reputation. That's one choice. Now, Dr. A.J. Levine, who was on the faculty at Vanderbilt Divinity School, has made it clear in some of her commentaries on this text that sort of thing didn't happen that often. Certainly that the woman would not be stoned in public, as the law said she could be. It happened sometimes. But for the most part, the rabbis would have taught that death penalty is not something we need to do in this kind of situation. But even so, Joseph could publicly shame her, and he would have every right to do so. But instead of acting out of vengeance, instead of trying to justify himself and prove his own righteousness, Joseph makes the other choice. His other choice is to dismiss her quietly, privately. Now, this word dismiss in the Greek can be translated a lot of different ways. It could be translated divorce, sort of an official end to the engagement. It could be translated set her free. Maybe he wants to set her free to marry the man who's the father of this child and not be bound by their betrothal anymore. But whatever the case, I think Joseph makes the most loving choice he could make to protect Mary and her family from that shame. He just decides to dismiss her quietly. I can put myself in Joseph's shoes in this moment, and I wonder if you can too. Have you ever been in a place where everything you thought was going to happen was torn away from you? Everything you were building and expecting and hoping for crumbled before you. The future you thought you were walking toward no longer is an option. Perhaps you've been in a relationship like Joseph and Mary were in, and something happened and that relationship fell apart, and the future you thought you had with this person you no longer have. Or maybe as a parent, you raise your children and you have certain expectations about the paths they will take and who they will be, and lo and behold, they grow up to be their own people and they're on a path you didn't expect, and you have to grieve the future that you had thought you were going to have. Or maybe you're moving into those years of retirement and you had all of these dreams about traveling and all the things you wanted to do, and suddenly you get a diagnosis, and instead what's ahead of you is treatment and doctor's visits and an uncertain future. Or maybe it's you've spent much of your life trying to change an injustice in the world or work to end homelessness in our community, and you felt like you've made some progress, and then we take 3, 4, 5 steps back as a community, as housing prices go up, and you think, what does the future hold? I think about, you know, I was ordained in 1996 in the United Methodist Church, the church I was born into. And I never would have thought that when I was 54 years old, the denomination would be splintering as we are, and that we wouldn't be as far along on the path as I thought we might be. And I have to grieve that, and I have to deal with that. And I just wonder if you, too, have had some situation in your life where the future you thought you were building is no longer available to you. If so, we join Joseph in this moment in the story. And we grieve with him as we watch him make the most loving, kindest, most compassionate decision he can make and quietly dismiss the future he had hoped for. He turns over on his side and cries himself to sleep. But that, my friends, is when God shows up. At that moment when Joseph thinks all is lost, in that moment of grief and despair and disappointment, an angel speaks to him in a dream and says, God has a different plan for you. You thought there were only two options, Joseph, but there's a third way. Because our God is a God who makes a way out of no way. And I want to tell you now to go ahead and take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. God has been up to something you couldn't even see. The child she carries is of the Holy Spirit. And I need you, Joseph. I need you to wake up and take her as your wife. I need you to claim him as your son. I need you to name him Jesus. Because if you claim him, Joseph, he will be of the house of David. If you claim him, Joseph, you will raise him with the same kind of love and righteousness and compassion that I see in you. He will learn from you. And I need you. And Joseph wakes up, doesn't say a word, and takes Mary as his wife. And he steps into a future that he had not planned and may not have chosen. Because it is not too much after Jesus is born that Joseph has to take his wife and his new baby and become refugees in Egypt because of the threats of Herod, who wants to kill his son. He raises this child not knowing the destiny that he has. And most likely, from what we can tell, Joseph didn't live to see Jesus as an adult. He didn't even get to see the fullness of who Jesus would become. But you know what? He did his part. He did what he was called to do. Joseph, dear Joseph, with no lines, does exactly what he is called to do. And if it weren't for him, we might not have the fullness of the story that we have today. So maybe he doesn't show up on my stole. And maybe I get him mixed up with the Magi every now and then. And maybe the things that we do don't always get recognized by the world. But we are called by God nonetheless. And if you're in a place where you think your future has crumbled around you and you don't know where to go next, just wait. God has something in store for you. Thanks be to God.
In response to the word proclaimed and felt in our lives, will you rise with me now and affirm our faith? We are using number 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal, Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to this time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with a pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can either follow the link under Contact Us on the website, or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, those gray cards that are in the pew rack in front of you, you can write your prayers on that and place them in the offering plates as they're passed around. We do have a rose on the altar this morning, and roses are always placed there to celebrate the birth. And this morning, we celebrate the birth of Virginia Douglas Tucker, who was born on December 8th to Kara and Harrison Tucker. She is also welcomed by her grandparents, Sandra and Bill Earthman. Welcome, Virginia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of hope, of peace, of love, we gather this morning in the midst of greenery and the beauty of a season with excitement and anticipation. And in the midst of commercial appeals to buy more and more so that we can show our love, you came down as a vulnerable child, love revealing itself to us in flesh. You chose to come down not as part of a wealthy, mighty family of rulers, but as the son of a betrothed couple, a man who was a carpenter. You came to show us love, a love that was countercultural, a love that defied the empire, a love that led your son to a cross. And in the ineffable mystery, that love, we come together on this day in this holy space. We give you thanks for the abundance of love shown here from you and through one another. Not everyone feels that love, and we lift up today those who are grieving, those who are lonely, those who are sick, those who are dying, those who are experiencing isolation in prisons of their own making, or in prisons of the state's making. Be with those who are traveling this holiday season and keep them safe. Bring them home safely to our church family once more. We pray for your church universal and for the leaders of our countries and our communities. Grant us peace in our minds, peace in our lives, peace around the world. And in these next few moments of silence, we name those in our hearts whom we bring before you this day in need of prayer. God, you knew these prayers before we even prayed them, but thank you still for hearing them. We pray together now the prayer your son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and in praise. Those of you joining us online, you're invited to give via the options listed now on your screen, while those of us here in the sanctuary will be passing the offering plates. May we give with joy this day to the God who has been so generous with us.
this time of worship comes to an end, there will be some who choose to return to your seats and listen to the final organ voluntary. Otherwise, you are welcome to gather in the narthex or in Reed Hall for conversation. Whatever you feel led to do is okay. You are a child of God, and you are loved. And God is up to something. Our God is a God who can make a way out of no way. And you have a part to play in what God is doing in this world, to go forth in love and trust and peace, knowing that God goes with you. Amen.